from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I don't know where in the world you guys are, but over here it's fucking beautiful. I managed to take the afternoon off a little bit, sit with my mom in the sand and in the sun and enjoy Indian food. So that was nice.
I spent the day in the dim garage, sweating my ass off.
Hey, I was there till 12. I just
I wasn't complaining or anything. I was just juxtapositioning.
But you know, here's what was funny. I was out and I decided to take my bike to go see my mom, who lives, I don't know, about 10-15 minutes away. And it's mostly bike trail that goes there. So it's like the sweetest thing. You go see your mom, fine. Just grab your bike and boom, you're off. You have to cross two streets. And the rest of the way, it's all beautiful bike trail along the canal, which is sort of like full of greenery and that kind of stuff. It's kind of like a little pocket of the country in the middle of the city, which is really nice.
Canada's got a lot of those. I love it. So yeah. You're lucky. I have to go through like 17 states to get to my mommy.
Ugh. And she doesn't make as delicious food as delicious as my mother.
She's not as good of a cook as your mom, but there's a couple of dishes that she fucking knocks out of the
obviously
park.
Obviously, those are going to be the dishes that you grew up with that you're going to love, you know? Everybody's got those favorites.
Yeah, no,
they're just a product of that, but I'm like, don't put my mom against your mom in a cook-off.
So. No.
This'd be a massacre.
No.
But, so anyways, I'm on the bike trail. And I have a mountain bike because the thing is, Montreal is like a fucking shitty ass city when it comes to its streets. They're just awful. Potholes everywhere. I mean, potholes large enough that if you have a sports car, it'll be damaged.
Well, there's this hilarious thing actually where the material they use to create the roads is cheaper than in the rest of Canada, and they refuse to change it over even though it deteriorates like three times as fast.
Actually, you want to know what's really funny? There was a girl, 16 years old, she had designed a new type of asphalt that would use recycled plastic bags, and it lasts like four or five times longer than all than the conventional ones they use now. And she's a Quebecer, and they still have not implemented her new strategy.
Lordy, lordy.
I know, it's just embarrassing, but what can you do? It's, you know, these companies that collude with one another, that have contracts that are unbreakable around here, and
yep,
shitty roads of the process. But my point was that I've basically bought a mountain bike for that reason, and I was coming towards there's this crossroads that have five different streets going into it. It's a mess, and there's one place that you can cross the street at, and it gives you about 9 seconds to do so, to cross like six lanes or something insane. 9 seconds. So you have to wait until if it's already started, you're done. You don't even try to cross because you will be killed. You know, another car comes barreling over from the bridge, which is just on the other side, and it's completely literally hidden because of trees. It's a fucking death trap.
Just to give you guys an idea of how bad Montreal drivers are, we had to get rid of turn red on red because too many pedestrians were dying.
Yeah, so people don't stop at crosswalks and that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, I'm coming on my way back from my mom's. I'm like, how am I going to just cross this thing? I'm going to die. I don't want to do it right now. But suddenly I had a moment, like a bing moment in my head, which is, you have a mountain bike, idiot. So I thought, you know what? I got to stop following the road. I can go anywhere I want. So I just took an off-road sort of right on the grass because there was a bit of a hill, and then sort of went under the bridge on this weird little underpass thing. It was brilliant. And all of a sudden, I just realized I didn't even know what a mountain bike was. Just fucking one of these morons that uses a bike like,
follow the traffic signs, follow the sidewalk.
Yeah, I could make a pretty good simile about people following the path of religion and never realizing there's all this beautiful area around it that you can play on and have a good time and fucking do wheelies off of.
Well, you know what it reminds me of?
Wheelie of atheism.
Remember how I said that the funny thing about winter and the reason why people find it depressing isn't so much because it's cold, it's because you can't go anywhere you want. There's gigantic snowbanks that you can't cross over. And until you actually get snowshoes, you will feel depressed. But I'm like, snowshoes are therapy for people in winter.
Are you
talking? Put on some fucking snowshoes and go take a walk And you will be amazed at how less depressed you are because you're not following these shoveled pathways from, you know, one end of your house to the other, you know?
Are you talking about snowshoes like what the old people used to put on their feet?
Oh, you and stuff like that?
Yeah,
no,
about boots? You're talking about snow boots.
No, I'm talking snowshoes. Fuck the old traditional ones. They have these awesome new ones.
Like, they're like tennis rackets, right?
No. Those are still the old ones. The new one, my dad has, we bought him some because he's a serious, you know, I don't even know what the sport would be called, snowshoe addict or whatever. We got him these really awesome ones. They cost quite a bit, though. They were like $200, but, you know, they're made out of crazy titanium alloys and all that kind of stuff. It's like the high-tech version of the snowshoe. But let me tell you something. It is good therapy. So if ever you're one of those people that live in a northern country like we do and you want to find out how to not have the winter blues, go out and explore with snowshoes. Consider it.
Or just go down to Mexico and live on the cheap for a couple months.
Yeah, well, okay. Yours involves a lot more money than I was talking about.
I don't know. You're talking about $200 snowshues.
But
I'm talking about like
$600. Those are the high-end ones. It's the same way I could say you could go to Mexico on the high-end trip and spend, you know, $3,000.
Well, three.
But you could do Mexico on the cheap for a few $100, but I don't recommend it. I do not recommend doing anything in Mexico on the cheap. You understand me?
Yeah, it's true. It would probably be a disaster.
Now, here's one thing I wanted to talk about before. After this little story, yeah, we can move on to it. You thought that this was going to be very sexist to me. I wanted to ask the question, why is it that I see more guys in the atheist movement? And I mean, just not a little bit more. I mean, like a significantly larger portion of men in the atheist movement. I went to this one site that had a local announcement, a group in some little town had a little call out for a bunch of atheists, and it was a huge success. I mean, it was a standing room only. They hadn't anticipated so many people, almost overwhelmingly male in the room.
Total sausage party, right?
Very fucking sausage fest. And I just, it made me kind of think, because I'm not so foolish as to suddenly tell you, oh, well, the atheism is only for men, and women can't definitely understand atheism because of their smaller brains. No.
Like a canary.
My point was basically to say that it seems, at least to me, that there is, from at least my observations, that there are more men than women that are atheists, or at least are in the skeptics movement. Although, I'll tell you one thing, though, one thing that I have realized with doing a little bit of research on this before we started the show. I will say that the women that are involved, far more vocal than the majority of their male counterparts.
Awesome. And awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing more awesome than an atheist chick, trust me. That's just hot.
It's too bad you're all over the states, all you atheist chicks that add me on Facebook, because you are all hot. I love seeing you upload pictures, and I'm like, who's this again? Oh, yeah, it's one of those hot atheist chicks.
Yeah, ka-ching. Okay, my point is basically this. I was trying to think about it, and I have a few theories that I want to throw out as to why it is. Because I looked at a couple of studies because I wanted to find out, all right, what's the research that's going on. And there was a study that was done in 2003 that found that women are indeed more religious. Although I thought that their conclusions were a little bit, well, let's say, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, whenever you conduct a study, you have to analyze the data and then try to make conclusions, right?
Yeah.
And their conclusion was that, well, women are more likely to be religious. One of the main factors being, number one, that they're more social. And I can believe that because it would be probably pretty hard to, you know, separate yourself from a family unit that's very religious, say, where you have men that are usually more independent and can separate themselves from a family unit a lot more easily, so on and so forth. But they said the real reason was that men have, or women have like to avoid risk, basically. So that because we're more risk takers, we avoid we risk going to hell, I guess is what they suggested.
Yeah, they were saying that men take more risks, and from that conclusion, men are take more risks. They said men are more likely to take the risk of going to hell.
Stupid. Because you know what? How many of you that are listening right now really felt as though that was the risk they were taking initially? No, That's an idiot.
Oh, it's the high, man. I love this whole risk-taking thing. Standing on the edge, am I going to hell?
Now, okay, here's the one thing that I do want to say. I've been trying to think about this from the perspective of ignoring my own internal prejudice about human beings, because we all have this long list of things that we can't seem to get over. Number one on that list is that we can't seem to fucking accept that we are apes. That's the first thing on the fucking list, right? Mm. We look at other apes, we're like, oh, those lowly creatures, they're not as evolved as I am.
And it goes all the way just saying we want to think of ourselves, human beings, as being somehow different than all other life forms.
Yeah, we don't consider ourselves animals. My mom had a funny thing. She said, well, kids are born animals, and it's your job as a parent to, you know, make them human. But I was watching a Richard Dawkins documentary that's on the site, so go check it out. It's called The Fifth Ape. And he was talking to this pastor in Kenya, and the guy's like, oh, I'm not an ape, no. Absolutely not. I'm a human. I'm something special. I'm designed by God. And I thought, well, isn't it really funny that we're the only species on Earth that denies our heritage? We're like, we're not from this lowly monkey species. No way. We're super evolved. We're God decided to guide that evolution. Even the people who believe in evolution even think that kind of ridiculous hubris. So that's the first thing that I want people to stop thinking, that evolution is in any way makes us better or worse than apes. We are apes. And we should sort of like study ourselves from that perspective. And now from that perspective, let me transition to the first thing that I want to sort of suggest as to what might be a reason why women believe in religion more than men is that, are you familiar with how women and men differ in terms of how they orient themselves in their environment? Have you heard about this?
Oh, is it kind of like men follow their dicks and women follow their...
No, not quite that one. More like... If you get a bunch of little boys and little girls to try to solve a maze, okay? Like they observe what do boys do compared to girls? Because girls will have different tactics about how to negotiate in their own environment compared to boys. Boys typically will try to create a topographical map in their own mind of their own location, right? Kind of a 2D thing that you see all the time, like a world map is a 2D topography. But to women, what they use is they use landmarks to be able to tell where they are. So if there's a big tree somewhere or if there's something that looked unusual, they'll remember those specifically and use those to orient themselves. Mm-hmm. So this is just a small example of how men and women differ in terms of how they negotiate their environment. And what I'm suggesting is that if this is just one example of how men and women do have somewhat different ways to go about things. And I think if you look at our history, like our evolutionary history as hunter and gatherers, and it's not sexist to say that men were the hunters and women were the gatherers. This is a very logical kind of arrangement. It makes sense. But I think those duties and probably created in us certain habits, certain different distinct advantages that worked for one group and that may not have worked as well for another. So if women forage, for instance, they have a better sense of smell than we do. They see colors more vividly than most men. They have fewer instances of color blindness, and that's partly to do because when you're gathering, guess what you need to do? You need to make differentiations between minute, between different roots and vegetables and fruits and all that kind of stuff. So you're going to develop your own specialization, and that's going to be reflected as to how your brain works because there's an evolutionary advantage to that. And I think at the same time, again, women are much more, I would say, social and relationship driven than men are. And I think as a consequence, if we view religion as a relationship with an entity. I don't care.
Jesus.
Jesus. I don't care if that entity is real or not. The relationship is real. And it's going to be a lot more difficult for a woman to be able to break off that relationship just as a matter of her biology. Now, it's not to suggest that that's impossible because, again, I think that those differences are still minute. Yeah, a girl can see colors more vividly. Do you really think it's making that much of a difference, though? I mean, does that mean that only graphic designers are women? No. Does that mean that only women are cooks? No. You know, there's obviously going to be variety in this, obviously.
This might just explain the slight skew.
Exactly. Why, for instance, a woman might be more religious, and it's just that given certain circumstances, she'll, like a girl may be more likely to continue to believe than a guy who's like, I'm at my limit. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't believe in it anymore. When a woman may see it more as in, well, it doesn't matter. Like another study found that, for instance, women are more driven by empirical observation rather than trying to develop a rational understanding of their environment. So they'll look at their experiences as a way to determine what they regard as true or not. But my point is that, look, the other minute difference might just be, again, sort of men may be required to have kind of like a more rational way of explaining their world. So religion is irrational. I mean, if you're trying to build a rational worldview, religion's not the way to do it. But if you want something that's going to make you feel good, religion is usually the way to do it. So what would you, what do you, what is your priority? Do you want to feel good or do you want to be right?
You know, here's the whole thing. This is where I really wish we had another person on the show who had some kind of neurological degree or something like that. Just a smarty pants on here that could fucking tell us what he thinks of your thoughts. Because I mean, I can't say much, because this basically boils down to, without all of your technical scientific jargon, it all boils down to just saying, well, women are slightly more gullible than men. And I don't want to say that.
Well, why not?
I want more Facebook female friends.
Yeah, but it's not to say that the women who listen to our show are therefore more gullible. It's just the fact that the matter is, generally, statistically speaking, women will be more gullible than men. Okay, sorry, said it. My bad. But you know what? Here's the thing. Most of the girls that I know that are skeptics, they're just as angry with women over that gullibility than you might be. It's the same reason why you watch Oprah and you just fucking want to pull your hair out, or you listen to Jenny McCarthy say that vaccines are bad and you just want to flip the fuck out, or where you listen to what's her name, the chick that was on Three's Company that injects fucking hormones in her vagina. What's her name?
Oh, I can't remember.
Come knock on our door. You know,
I know you're
that woman who just takes in so many hormones that I have to believe that she's the walking pharmacopoeia of dangerous fucking drugs. But I digress. Look, there are plenty of movies. Like, the entire reason why astrology is still around is because women want to know what the fuck their signs are and what's going to happen, and can you predict the future? It's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. But again, like I said, I think that there's an evolutionary reason to explain why their women in general are more likely to believe it. But again, like I said, I mean, if you look at the way that the brain is structured, we rewire it all the time. Like, how many times in your own life have you had an experience or had a revelation or just some kind of, you know, you educated yourself to a point where you're just, your worldview changed entirely. I mean, it happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you would, obviously, if that happens, the way that the structure of how your brain is wired changes, man. All these pathways that used to be around are just being circumvented or commandeered for all kinds of new purposes, and your brain is just changing all the time, all the fucking time. So it's not as though, even though you're more likely to be gullible just because you're part of a sex, that you're initially going to be gullible forever. It's just that there are certain things that work against you. Number one, that, well, because you are more likely to want to develop relationships with things, that also tends to happen with imaginary friends. Oh, well, it just means that you typically also have more empathy or less violent. I mean, there's plenty of other statistics to show that women are awesome. I mean, they're less likely to commit crimes, they're less likely to kill people, they're less likely to have a fight, and nobody would call me sexist for saying that shit, but as soon as you open your mouth and say, well, they're also more gullible, somebody's like, well, that's sexist, sir! Here's
one of the things that I will say is that, again, if we had a scientific person on the show, that maybe they would say that it has less to do with evolutionary traits and more to do with societal traits. Like, I'm reading a book right now called Stiff, The Betrayal of There is it, the 21st century man. But basically what it's about is it's talking about how society is shaped, what a man is supposed to be, and how that impacts us as men in how we interact with society. Like, say, for example, society's view of men is that they're supposed to go out and work and bring home the bread. And if you're not doing that, if you're like a poor bum who can't support his family, then you are not a man, and you should feel shame.
Kill yourself.
Now, when you look over it at basically what society tells women to be, and let me tell you what, I fucking hate what society nowadays, what mainstream music, mainstream television, mainstream, for the most part, mainstream
movies.
It's
deplorable.
It's absolutely deplorable how they fucking portray women. It's a shame that the only person who's writing good roles for women right now is Quentin Tarantino. How absurd is that?
That don't make no sense, man.
It really fucking doesn't.
Well, the only other person I would say is sort of not on one extreme is probably Tina Fey, too. And at least she's out there trying to carve out what's one looking for? Like the new feminist sort of mystique.
There are a lot of individuals out there trying to do some good things, but the overall societal view, I mean, not just for women, but for men as well, is pathetic.
It's not a good fucking dialogue. I don't think it's worthwhile at all. I mean, we live in a time where roles, sexual roles, can be completely and utterly thrown out the window. We can start new. We can just say, rather than be worried about what role I have or whether I should go and get the bacon or whether I should stay home and take care of the family, how about you just figure out what each person is best at? Because the same way that you'll see varieties in terms of how emotional people can be. Like, for instance, you can have really emotional guys and really unemotional girls, and you would assume a blanket stereotype statement would be like, oh, all girls are emotional. No, there's a variety of human experience, and depending on your strength or weaknesses, you should pursue careers and lives that coincide with those. You know, if you don't find yourself particularly interested in parenting, then don't do so. Like, nobody should tell you what to fucking do.
Yeah, that whole idea of, oh, you're 30, time to get married. Like, take for example my brother. My brother's thinking about adopting a kid, and my parents are a little bit iffy on it because my mom kind of has that whole vibe of, well, if you want a kid, get married and have a kid. And she just doesn't get the whole idea that nowadays
it can be a real bitch to be a guy having, well, a kid.
He doesn't want a wife. He wants a kid. Why is that a big fucking deal?
Well, you know why it's a big deal? Because everybody views, oh, well, he's a man, he's irresponsible, he's not, you know, he's not going to be nurturing enough. All these stereotypes that people believe. And, you know, I won't deny that there may be some truth to the stereotype, the same way that, say, girls may be more gullible. Maybe in general,
guys are just more irresponsible.
Guys are more irresponsible and probably less empathetic and so on and so forth. But again, it doesn't mean that every fucking person fits that mold. It's just a mold, just a generality, just the average. And the average is not a person. It's just the culmination of all these things that work, you know, in different, you know, always in different directions. They're pulling one way or another. You're more empathic, you're less empathic, you're more violent, you're less violent. Like, there is no average violent level. There's just different levels of violence, and it has an average.
And individuality, there's never been a better time to be an individual than now. Like, back in the day, if your dad did something, that's what you were going to be doing, too. And that wasn't very long ago. That still happens a lot nowadays. Like,
it happens all over the world, man.
Yep.
We just live in a country where that's not what's going on, and that's awesome, because my dad wasn't blogging and podcasting on atheism, let me tell you that.
Yep.
He was a lumberjack and a landscaper, and he wanted me to do that. I didn't want to do it. Not my bag, not my scene, you know. I was buried in books, video games, the new media. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of the internet. Wanted no part of the, you know, physical drudgery of of landscaping. No, thank you. So, but, you know, it's fine for other people, I guess.
So, yeah, just in general, my opinion is, I don't know whether or not it has to do with our biology or our brain chemistry, I would definitely say that I recognize the important role that society plays in how, you know, the sexes are treated, how we're brought up, and because of that, how we are as human beings. Well, that was pretty good, eh?
There you go. I think that's a nice summary. Let's move on to something else that I wanted to talk about, which is happening in our very own province. And I know this made you happy. Now, just a little backstory. When we were in high school, we used to have to select from a variety of moral education programs, which was either sort of like Catholicism or Protestantism, or the other one, which I went to, which was moral ed, which is kind of like a non-religious alternative. Which was bullshit anyways.
It was basically a class where you sat around doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
they always put the teacher that they rumored had touched some girl as the teacher of that, because it was like the jokiest class ever. Being the moral ed teacher was fucking lowest rung on,
you know what it was,
on the high school totem pole.
Anytime you washed out, that was your softball right there. Okay, well, you can teach moral ed and we'll see how you do in a year. And if you don't do poorly, and if you stop molesting girls,
well, the funny thing about it is
it's
actually the hardest class, because you're obviously doing very little, and therefore everybody's just kind of going crazy. I remember a lot of free periods where there was just nothing going on.
Yeah, I don't think I learned anything. I don't even remember if there was a test on anything. Maybe it was one of those interpretive tests. How do you feel about yourself? I mean, you're a teenager, so obviously not good.
Also, I remember is doing a paper on a religion of my choice, and I had chosen Hare Krishna because a friend of mine named Sean had just gotten into it hardcore, and I went to their center and I checked it out, and the food was bad and it was just very creepy, and
So apparently what's happened is that now they've decided that they're going to meld all of these different the different religious teachings together. So in one class, you'll learn about a bunch of other religions. And in Drummondville, which is not too far from Montreal, about an hour and a half, there's a bunch of parents that tried to bring the government to court to change that, because they were like, well, it's making my child confused about his religious education, and it's, you know, and it's it potentially damages their faith and so on and so forth. A judge basically threw that shit out, said, you know, it didn't stop parents from inculcating their faith on their kids. And if there was any, they were basically going to take the position that the Charter of Rights does not protect a person from ignorance. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to say, well, a parent has a right to keep their child ignorant. No, that's not really in the charter there. No one's really interested in it. But I think it's an awesome idea. The reason I think it's an awesome idea is because if you want a society of people that are not especially religious, teach them all religions simultaneously. It's just that simple. And you know what they'll start doing? They'll start questioning the inconsistencies in all religions. They'll be like, well, this one seems awfully similar to that one. And how come Mithras sounds a lot like Jesus? And what about Buddha? And all this other kind of stuff. And obviously no one can answer these questions other than, it's all mythology, dummy.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome. As soon as you line up one religion with all the rest and you just knock them all back, of course the kid's going to go, well, which one's fucking right? And the parent can't say they're all right. Of course, the parent's going to say, well, Catholicism is the only right way. And of course, I'm interested in knowing, because you got to figure, there's going to be some kids that are going to say, well, you know, Catholicism is the only way. What does the teacher say then?
You know what? They still have to pass a test, which means that they're going to have questions about other religions. So the question is not which religion is true. It's more like, okay, well, what year did John Calvin sort of release his creepy decrees and shit like that? Whatever. It's going to be a history lesson.
Did Martin Luther
and start the Protestant Reformation? So it's just questions you have to answer. But I think just knowing the history of religion is one way of basically getting rid of it as a pure belief system.
Demystifies it and kind of reveals it as just being a hodgepodge of whatever a certain group of people believed.
And you know what? Here's the other funny thing, too, that even if people don't come out of it necessarily irreligious like us, at the same time, I think they have a newfound appreciation for different faiths. And at the end of the day, that's, I think, the more important thing. Because although I can't get everybody to stop believing in God, we certainly have to get everyone who believes in it to stop killing each other. Just an idea here, you know? Mm-hmm. And to stop killing each other for such stupid reason as, we're the only faith. And don't go around teaching your religion to my child. Because, you know what, it's funny, at the end of the day, they know why you're not supposed to teach religion to other religions to your kids, because people will stop believing in just yours. We are a society that loves options, you know? Who wants less options? I mean, fucking, what's his name, Ford, who invented the car. He didn't want any other car other than Ford Model T and black. Well, the Ford company was almost destroyed when General Motors introduced, oh, guess what? Colored cars! You could get your own color! And everybody loved more options. Who would figure that out, huh?
We love communists. Options. Sounds like a communist thing.
No,
multiple
Ford
colors.
Like a communist. The more colors, that's capitalism. I don't know. Everybody always says the good stuff's their particular economic view.
Yeah, no, I was just joking around, because I always love it when people, because, you know, socialism is the new communism, and I personally love it. All you Americans talking about socialism as if it's bad, it makes me laugh.
They're like, oh no, our country's going to be socialized. Oh no, you're going to have access to free healthcare?
Your government's actually going to do things for you. That's horrible.
Yeah, your government shouldn't do anything for you other than take your money and spend it on the military.
Don't forget, put you in jail.
Yes, put you in jail for smoking marijuana. That's good. That's great. Okay, last thing I wanted to talk about, I sent you an article about this. It was this young woman called Sophia Hayat, and she's an actress and a singer and a model and all this other kind of stuff. And
very successful person.
Yeah, very successful. And she wrote her story about how, you know, her family had disapproved of her Western lifestyle, because, you know, she's obviously going to be a model and actress. You live the Western dream, man. And
infidel dream.
The very much infidel dream. And her family is very, very religious, conservative Muslim family from Pakistan, or originally from Pakistan. And at one point, when they had discovered that she was, I guess, living the free life, they had kidnapped her and threatened to kill her.
Yep, they took her by knife point away from her school and locked her in the attic, Harry Potter style. Well, I guess he's under the stairs, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, Harry Potter style.
Maybe not so quirky. Maybe not so many laughs.
With less
and magic.
Whimsical music, though. I'll tell you something. If you're watching Harry Potter and they replace the soundtrack with that of Jaws, it wouldn't be the same fucking movie, man. There are lots of times, even in Harry Potter, where thank God there's a good score there because it's creepy, man. Lots scary. Of creepy shit going on.
Oh yeah, it's all about scary. It's Satanism. It's all it is. Anyways, go on.
All right, so basically, I put the story up. I do recommend you guys go check it out. In her own words, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is how difficult it was for her to really at first go to the police. She had already been threatened, but even that wasn't enough to say, well, I need to go to the police. And it's not like it's a casual threat. Mm. You know, everybody there knows that once, you know, a family decides, well, you're dishonoring us, we're going to kill you, they generally mean it. It's not fucking just talking out of their ass. Mm. It's not like, well, you know, that argument you had with your mother and said, I'll kill you? No, that's a very different one. She didn't say, I'm going to honor kill you. That's a very different fact. And also, what was really creepy and scary was that she had been sexually assaulted by a family member, and they did not take her side, you know? And that's a very typical thing to happen in a lot of those cultures, that if you get molested or sexually abused, they blame you. They're like, well, why did you lead him on? Or, you shouldn't have been alone with him in that room, or you shouldn't let him give you that drink.
Yep.
And you're thinking, wow, nice to blame the victim. I thought the whole thing sad about the story was at the end, she was like, well, I really wish they would reread the Quran because they would realize that it preaches peace and love and so on and so forth. And I was just like, no, they've read the Quran. I'm sure that's not the problem. Every good Muslim memorizes the Quran, okay? You when you go to madrasas, that's what they make you do. They make you write on a little wooden board, okay? So they make you write a verse, you erase it and try to say it again, and if you get it wrong, you write it again and you erase it. I mean, some of these people can quote it word per word, man, fucking beginning to end.
It's not like America where we're all fake Bible readers.
No, these people are really hardcore. And what I was trying to say, at least in my article, was that if you've already made up your mind, I talked about this last bonus show, what you believe in, if you're religious, you're just going to make whatever fucking passages that match your already pre-existing belief system.
Yeah, you'll ignore the stuff that you don't like, and you'll find those verses that justify what you feel, and you will fucking hammer them down people's throats.
Yeah, and this is essentially the problem with your religion. It's that it is open to interpretation, that whatever the fuck you believe in, you have concrete, or at least in your mind, concrete justification to do it. And that's the problem. Ideologies are dangerous when people believe them without fucking question. This is why I fear religion. Where everyone's like, oh no, religion's a good thing. No, it's not. Any system where people are not even questioning their own assumptions is dangerous, because sure, for the most part, it can be the most fucking stable thing in the world. You know, Islam in the Middle East in the 7th and 8th century, yeah, it was fucking stable as all hell. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, one guy comes along, says, screw modernism, time to go back to a, you know, very conservative stance, destroy science, and it's the hellhole that it is today. That shit can happen. If you don't think that it can happen here, you are a fool. You are a fucking fool. All right, religion can come back and in a big way at any fucking time. No reason to believe that it can't. Look at the growth of evangelism in fucking the military. You know, look at all these countries that started off secular, like, say, Turkey was working hard on becoming secular. Now it's a fucking, theocracy again, practically. The trend tends to go from one end of the spectrum to the other, and it's something that you have to fight. Secularism is fucking important. You need to keep religion the fuck out of politics, all right? You can't keep it out of people's homes. Apparently, they go apeshit if you do that, and I'm fine. Believe in whatever the fuck you want to believe in. But as soon as you go over and you say, well, you have to do this because my God said so, Jesus Christ. Did you read that thing I sent you about the Homeland Security in Kentucky? And that statement that they had put in the amendment saying that they recognized
God as
the almighty God as being necessary for the security and betterment of everybody.
America, yeah.
You're like, what the fuck is this, man? What almighty God?
And he snuck it in there, and he got it in there. And thank God, some Kentucky atheist. I'm very happy. I would love to know who was responsible for that, because I would love to send them an email and say, you guys did good.
That's American Atheists
thank
Incorporated.
You.
Some kind of group. And 10 Kentuckians. That's what they call themselves, Kentuckians.
I can dig it.
Sound right. Uh-huh. I love your chicken, and now I love your atheists, Kentucky.
Yes, absolutely. Epic win right there.